To begin this message, I'm working on the assumption that this image that we'll show you on the screen is actually Joey Yoakam. This young man, as you can see there, he posted this last fall, was Twitter, now X, on October 3rd. And he said this. He said, "I spent 5 days in the Ozark Mountains with no phone. Here are 29 things I learned." We'll go through. Number one, modern technology has us in a constant state of overstimulation. Two, nature is one of God's greatest antidepressants. Third, the less time you spend consuming social media and the news, the less susceptible you are to lies, fear-mongering, and deception. When you're in the middle of nowhere, the best form of entertainment is exercise. If you want to better connect with the people you're with, put down your phone. The more active you are, the better you sleep. To better solve problems, remove distractions. 8, downtime provides you an opportunity to grow closer to God. Packed calendars create anticipation and kill creativity. Number 10, peak mental clarity cannot be achieved with constant stimulation from screens. I understand we're putting this on a screen for you to watch. I get that. Number 11, humans are batteries, and our charger is alone time with God. The modern lifestyle of living fast is a recipe for stress. The more time you spend outside, the better you feel. When you remove conveniences like electricity and running water, your gratitude skyrockets. 15, if you want a calmer mind, you need to place yourself in a calmer environment. Being self-sufficient breeds confidence. To better hear the voice of God, make all other inputs as quiet as possible. Exploration is one of the greatest, best sources of creativity. Presence and anticipation cannot coexist. 20, detachment provides new perspectives. Time away from my business exposes the problems with my business. 21, if you want better sleep, align your sleep schedule with the sun. And our thanks to the third shift guys who cannot do that. We appreciate folks who sacrifice. 22, whenever you become anxious about back home, reveals your true values. We're often more scared of breaking the rules than we are of doing what it is we want to do. 24, walking alone in the dark is scarier than walking with others. Find community. Focus and distractions cannot coexist. Read the Bible, pray and journal at the beginning of the day so that you can fight off the enemy's attacks throughout the rest of the day. Conquering challenges gives you proof that you're capable of great feats. A fire only continues to burn if you keep feeding it. Never stop working on you. 29. Life is better when you regularly consume coffee and homemade cookies. I think that's a good list. We'll keep referencing some of these as we work through. I trust we can relate. And I will venture that it's quite possible that a greater percentage of our younger generations will more readily admit to mental health struggles and battles. But even the oldest in the room online can understand. Because stress and anxiety and depression and all their goons regularly visit our lives. I've been referencing the recent Christian Standard volume, January, February. It's called The Mental Health Issue. It's got 95 pages of articles and helps, quotes, stats. Gen Z, those born 99 to 2015. Gen Z is the most stressed out generation ever. They have an April 2022 article from the Association for Psychological Science website. Their report is that the percentage of students who experience, quote, persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness has risen from 26% to 44%, which is the highest level of sadness ever recorded. Suicide has become epidemic. It is now the second leading cause of death for young people between the age of 10 and 24. And now this last Tuesday, totally unconnected, I thought, to this sermon series, I'm at a preacher's meeting in Mount Vernon, and they had a youth minister, an associate minister, Zach Rayburn, who's over at the Millwood Church of Christ over in Next County. And he's sharing these stats, and it's the same stats. And he had that, which 25% of teens have considered suicide in the past month. Our kids have to win this battle every month. The thought of suicide only has to win one time. Mental health issues are very real issues. You know, they're very pressing issues. I'm going to tell you right now, there's no way we can cover everything we should in this one sermon. We can start to work on the foundation. That is the series that we're in. Our series concept is that the foundational basis for every aspect of my life can be found in Jesus. So if you're asking, can Jesus help with mental health? The answer is yes. You know, did Jesus ever have emotions? Yes. You know, did Jesus struggle with stress? Anxiety? Have you asked these questions? Can you picture Jesus facing stress? He certainly did. This is W. Frank Walton. He has teachingtruth.org. He's quoting Jesus from the Gospels, Luke 12:50. I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until I accomplish it. And the Bible word distress, it's the original is Greek, synecho, pressed together. That's what it's pressed together, compressed or constrained by a mental burden. So here you have Jesus, our perfect example, distressed by the great demand of serving, facing the suffering of the cross, being the Savior of the world, which I will grant you is a very stressful job. But here's the thing. He was never stressed out by it. That's a subtle difference. And I immediately went to Denise and I traveling around in the middle of the outback in Australia. And we had a rental car, and it had a new gas gauge for us. You guys have all these, just the little bars that just disappear, and it's just rapidly disappearing across the dash. And we're trying to do our best converting miles to kilometers and just, I'm not real sure. How long is this thing going to last? Because we're in the middle of nowhere. There's no gas station. There's no people. Nothing. Stress. We didn't stop. We didn't just park the car and go, stress belt. You just keep driving and go through it and make it. Did Jesus ever get anxious? Good question, because you have words from the Bible. This is Philippians 4:6. Many have remembered. Do not be anxious about anything. But if you turn with me to Matthew 26 in the Gospels, beginning with verse 36, setting here, this is that Thursday night, like he's already had the Last Supper in the upper room with the disciples. They're going to go into the garden. From there, he's going to face trials and the cross and death. So yeah, it's a really stressful situation. This is Matthew 26. Verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to him, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground, and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And if you can if you have that there, go back to verse 37 with me. Sorrowful and troubled. Like I said, the original words are Greek. The word is atomaneo, troubled, great distress, anguish, depressed. It has an additional notice that there are three Greek words for depression in the New Testament. This is the strongest of the three. So I don't know if my initial question is our connotation of the word get, is that what makes attention in this? Is that too vague? Did Jesus ever get anxious? Did Jesus ever get depressed? Somebody say, well, yeah, he did. You just read it right here, Matthew 26. He did. Somebody's going to counter. Well, no, he didn't. You know, it's Philippians 4:6. Don't get attention. How do we resolve? Did Jesus ever face these? See coming? Begin to be? Yes, he did. Did he stay there? Dwell there? Was he defeated by this? No, he wasn't. Began to be, verse 37, that phrase, he began to be. That's what lets Jesus sympathize with us. In everything that we do, that's Hebrews 4:15. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. And I listened to a sermon and the guy said, Jesus can sympathize. And he went through just he said, Jesus was homeless, Matthew 8:20. His family thought he was crazy. Matthew and Mark and John all report that. His closest friend sold him to be killed for money. He was shamed, mocked, criticized, rejected. He can sympathize. So we will say yes. Jesus understands the physical components and the very unique challenges that are mental health. When we have in this text, verse 41, the spirit is willing, the body is weak. That's words from God. Almighty God dwelling in a human physical body, and he understands. My physical struggle can and does impact my spiritual strength. When Luke's account of this garden anguish, chapter 22, verse 44, being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. His spiritual battle has physical ramifications, physical, spiritual connection. You know, I always go to Elijah, 1 Kings 18, 19. You know, here's this guy who has this great victory, Mount Carmel, prophets of Baal, showdown between the gods. Let's call down, and God wins. God Almighty, fire burns up everything. He's able to execute 450 false prophets, top of the world. 2 minutes later, queen says, I'm going to kill you like you did them. And he folds. And he runs, and he cries, and he whines, and he sits there, and I'm the only one left. And he falls asleep. And the next thing you know, angel is attending him. And the prescription is what? Eat this. Have a sandwich. Get a drink. Take a nap. You know, go back to bed. Our health is connected. And I'm standing here, and this is where I have to do better. Because I know so many people who wrestle, whether it's anxiety, depression, suicidal thought, mental health issues. I read the Christian Standard. I listen to the stats from Zach. This Christian Standard has an excellent resource called Weeds in My Garden. It's a sermon series, 12 weeks long. We'll talk more about it later. But I watched the first sermon in Weeds in My Garden from Clayton Hensel. And he said, anxiety is now the number one issue for women in our country. It is number two for men, behind drugs and alcohol. Which he suggests guys are probably using to mask the real number one, which is anxiety. And here's I'm guilty of hearing all the stats and struggling with the fact that it just keeps going on. You know, I just want to stop. You know, if somebody comes up and says, well, hey, I'm wrestling with adultery. I'm working on it. It's a work in process. We're coming through. I could wind up divorced and fired in some order pretty quickly. You know, because on that one, I'm going to get, you just got to stop. You know, this isn't that. Okay? And I really appreciated Clayton and Clayton had four buckets. He said, you got to picture that there are four sources that pour into different people's mental health issues. And it could be one or a combination of buckets. For some, the cause or a source is situational. These people just find themselves in a, it's through no fault of their own, but you're just in a situation, and it's usually somebody else that's causing the grief. And he likened it, he gave a great illustration of, you're out swimming in a lake, and you just want to be in the calm, still water by yourself, with your floaty or your ring or whatever you have, and your brother whips up on a jet ski. Just, and his goal in life is to drown you, you know, and he's just up and down and spraying and soaking. And it's, you're just in that situation where the grief is somebody causing it for you. Could be this bucket. Could be biological. It's just the way I'm put together. The way I'm created by God. We're all different. We live in a fallen world. His illustration was he looks out at his congregation. He goes, some of you have great metabolisms. You can process a cheeseburger, no problem. He said, God loves you. I don't. he's just different. He said, we are just wired differently. Third bucket or source could be clinical or medical, and I'm going to need some help to process and sift and treat and diagnose and prescribe. It's a source. Bucket number four is spiritual. Clayton's example in that, he says, suppose somebody wakes up one morning and they just feel blah. He says, if they come to me, and I would tell you, you come to me as a preacher or a well-meaning Christian, and I say, what's going on? You tell me, which bucket do you think I'm going to focus on? This is spiritual, you know. It's my training. It's my experience. We're going to have a conversation about, are we praying? Are we reading the Bible? Have more faith. What Clayton said, he said, I've never had anybody call me and say, I woke up with a rash. I don't get that call either. You know, he's like, I woke up with a rash, what do I do? And he's like, pray more, rashy. You know, that's why. I don't get that call. The dermatologist gets that call. Nobody that I know challenges a person who is receiving dialysis regularly going, where's your faith? It's a reality. But then you have a different organ of the body, which is not too far removed, and we think different. You can be well-meaning, want to give Christian help, and it just drives a wedge, or just pours on more guilt. Now I have spiritual shame. When I had a physical issue, I need God. And this, I'm telling you, I'm learning this as I'm driving back and forth to this meeting in Mount Vernon. And I thought, he's right. There are people who take medication for other organ issues every day of their life. Blood pressure, etc. Dialysis is an ongoing thing. And some of us just have some stuff it's just going to be managed. For my lifetime, it's going to be managed. Because if you stop the treatment or you stop the body just revolts. You know? And there may be some who brain management is lifetime. I do know people who have blood pressure, pick the issues, and they work to make it not a lifetime. Changing diet, exercise, transplant. Or they say this, they say, look, I'm going to have to manage it my lifetime, but I'm still going to work to be productive. I want to stay engaged. And I asked Earl if I can share all this before I tell you what I'm about to tell you. For those who don't know, the issue that for Earl is macular degeneration. Okay? Loss of vision in the center. That's not going to get better. We're waiting for, could be maybe an implant, maybe some kind of bionic. There might be something in the future, but for now, you got to manage it. And the irony of it, what's Earl doing while he's managing macular degeneration? Running a video camera, of all things. And he said, make sure you tell people, especially people who are watching online, if I duck out of the frame sometime, you know, it's because, in his words, we got a blind guy running the camera. You know, and sometimes he can't follow me. That's just reality. But engaged. You know, and for some struggles, for some strugglers, the source, the bucket, is physical or medical or chemical, and no amount of read the Bible more, pray more is going to be the whole of the solution. You know, if you're bucket four, if it's a heart issue, if it's a unrepentant sin issue, you can try to medically treat that all you want, and that's not going to fix it either. No number of counseling visits or prescription refills is going to cure that. That's Jesus. You know? We have to understand there are different sources, different buckets, different combinations. Jesus understood these things, and that's why I gave you this long list. If you have the colored insert, I recreated Joey's list on the back, and you can see the different colors. I thought the green ones spoke to the physical component. Number two, nature is one of God's greatest antidepressants. Number four, when you're in the middle of nowhere, the best form of entertainment is exercise. Number six, the more active you are, the better you sleep. 12, the modern lifestyle of living fast is a recipe for stress. 13, the more time you spend outside, the better you feel. 21, if you want better sleep, align your sleep schedule with the sun, if you're able. And 29, life's better when you regularly consume coffee and homemade cookies. There's a physical component to this. Another aspect is that Jesus sought support from his friends. He told them exactly how he was feeling. He told them exactly what was bothering him. He says, stay here. Stay here with me. When's the last time your boss talked to you like Jesus talked to his disciples? Verse 38, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Oh, talk about sharing in the workplace. Back in the day, we didn't do that. Especially not men, we don't do that. And then Galatians 6:2 has always instructed God's family to, quote, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And that's from way back in the day. Way back. And if I want to raise the bar and press this even more, we always talk about, we know James' verse about the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. What immediately precedes that, James 5:16a, therefore, confess your sins to each other. Ooh. Who do you trust with that? Am I availing myself of help from relationship? There is a time, there is a place for seeking aid, and there is a need. There's a challenge to all of us as Christians to be willing to come alongside and walk and listen and pray. And let me tip that into this in the second one. As aid givers, here's the caution, especially to those of us who are older. Those, especially moms, mommies, we want to protect our kids. We do. We want to protect the younger generation nowadays from everything. There's a balance to this. I want to support them without suppressing them. And the great old illustration is the butterfly that's struggling to get out of the cocoon. And the well-meaning individual says, I will cut you free. And he plops out, this fat body and little shriveled wings. Because the struggle of coming through there forces that fluid up into his wings. And you have helped him. He's free, but he's never going to fly. And that's the balance. And Clayton, Preacher Clayton, in the Weeds in the Garden sermon, he's back at the lake swimming. He said, we grew up in different points of the lake. He said, you can picture this. If you grew up on the point of the lake, swimming for you every day involved wind and waves and turbulence. It's just part of your life. You grew up with it. You understand it. Somebody who lived in what he calls the no-wake zone, they swim in different waters. And they get tossed easier. And you can see the different, like, two individuals coming together. I thought of, like, the World War II veterans, what that generation went through, what they endured, Vietnam area. And it doesn't just have to be all the old people. Some of you young people who had things stolen from you, your senior year from COVID, some of those kids can be a little unsympathetic. They're like, oh, poor baby. Let me tell you a real problem. And I pictured an old guy who, say, when on December or June the 6th, 1944, this guy was 19 years old. He was in one of those amphibious vehicles. He was dumped out. That gate came down, and he stormed onto Omaha Beach, wherever they were. I got those pictures from the internet, and the caption literally says, into the jaws of death. Okay, so picture that guy who lived like that and went through that when he was 19, and then you fast forward until he's 80 or 90, and he's talking to a kid who's all distressed because the internet's down. He may not be real sympathetic to your 19-year-old problem. That's a balance. Balance for all of us. And I believe that's the point of Jesus not coddling the disciples. In Matthew 15, 16, they ask him a question and his answer is, are you still so dull? It's like, how rude. It's like, Jesus, you shouldn't talk to your guys that way. What are you arguing about? Mark 9, he knows when they're fighting. He calls them on it. Luke 9, 3, listen, he told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. That's like the exact opposite of what mom wants to put in a bag for the kid. And Jesus said, don't take any of that because he's equipping them. He is strengthening them. He's forcing the fluid up into their wings. And where are we today in relation to that? And I love this when the Lord drops an illustration in my lap in Wednesday's newspaper, which is, you can read the headline. People are hiring concierge moms to help their kids at college. Maybe you have one. I don't know. The question in the article was, is this a bad idea? And here's the first line of the article. Imagine you live in Los Angeles, but you're sending your child off to college in New York. And 2 weeks into their first semester, they get sick. Lucky for you, you have a concierge mom on speed dial. It's $49 a month. 100 families have signed up. You know, I get the what they're going for. Let me speak into this because I got hurt when I was in college. Okay, I've told some of you I'm holding the ball. Hold the ball tightly, basketball. Because Chris Irwin, my roommate, tried to steal the ball and jabbed me in the eyeball. Poked his thumb clear in my eye. And this is 40 years ago when I had hard glass contact lenses, which busted in my eye. This is freshman year. I have no Denise to go running to. My mommy is not there. I do not have such thing as a concierge mom. I got Chris, you know, the guy that stuck me in the eye. And he goes down the hallway of the college and we're just getting guys out of rooms. And I remember Darren and Brian or someone like, yeah, we're going to go. This is going to be rich. You know, we're going to go to the hospital and see how he does. You know, I had survived. Still see. Support, yes. You know, doing everything for them, no. And in Joey's list, I picked him out as the blue. I felt like he had two on both sides. Number five, if you want to better connect with the people you're with, put down your phone. That's together. 16, being self-sufficient breeds confidence. 24, walking alone in the dark is scarier than walking with others. Find community. 27, conquering challenges gives you proof that you're capable of great feats. Balance for all of us. Jesus, the third color is Jesus poured out his stress before God and he trusted God for his will for his life. This is me. This is how I harmonize Jesus being sorrowful and troubled with the injunction in Philippians 4:6 to not be anxious. You know, what is my state? And how long am I going to stay here? Jesus begins it. He's going down it. He's pouring it out to God. He's sharing how he feels with his guys. He's stating what he wants with his father. And he submits to the will of his father in verse 39 and moves on. Now we've had the first part of Philippians 4:6 a lot. Do not be anxious about anything. Here's the remainder. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 6 and 7 is why the counselor cards that I keep in my desk are Christian counselors, because they will understand this connection between 6 and 7. Some of our very talented secular folk, they just don't see that connection. Because we're going to stand here and say, when I'm able to do verse 6 properly, when I'm able to pour it out to God, what can I expect to receive from him? Verse 7 says peace, which that's what all of us want in this. I want to have peace. But just be mindful of what's not necessarily promised there. But you mean my circumstance didn't change? No, it didn't. So-and-so isn't out of my life? No, he's not. Peace in the midst. John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have trouble. Take heart, I've overcome the world. Have you presented your requests to God? And do we sometimes just take them right back? I remember one preacher said the church needs to have backpack hooks where you hang your pack of guilt. Because that's what we do. We come into church, We hang the guilt on the peg. We let God take care of it for about an hour and a half while we're in here together. We do pretty well. But on the way back out of church, we pick them up. I got it the rest of the week. Thanks, God. You know, and sometimes you can do it at night. I prayed. I shared it with God. I gave God my backpack of guilt, and I slept pretty well. And then in the morning, I woke up, and I took it right back and said, I'm going to school. I got it. You know, when I looked at Joey's list, I made these purple. 7 was purple. I said it's kind of generic, but it fits. To better solve problems, remove distractions. But here's 8. Downtime provides you with an opportunity to grow closer to God. 11, humans are batteries, and our charger is alone time with God. 17, to better hear the voice of God, make all other inputs as quiet as possible. And 26, read the Bible, pray and journal at the beginning of the day so you can fight off the enemy's attacks through the rest of the day. Which as you move through the text, Jesus makes one more move, which is what? He gets up and he goes back to work. Verse 46 isn't not only the same chapter, it's in the same timeline. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. It's the same setting. It's the same Savior who's pouring out his heart in agony. And a few minutes later, he's like, here comes my betrayer. And I know you're thinking, well, that sounds like something to avoid. I wouldn't mess with that guy, not today. You know, and Jesus, the first thing he does is say, let's go. And the first thing he's going to do is protect his guys. You looking for me, not them? Let them go. I'm the one you want. And he will step right into the middle of this melee and swords are flashing. And all this going on in his life, here's this guy Malchus who got whacked in the ear. And he's healing him, putting his ear back on. He will be tried. He will be spat on. He will be crucified. You know, but he's going back to work. I don't know if you know anybody that's afraid of tunnels. Do they like drive in the middle of a tunnel and stop? No. Get out. Keep going. It's going to be dark. Keep going. And I, this is the part where I would expect an email. If you understand, you said at the beginning, hardwired, this is the way I'm wired. Okay, I get that. Do I have to stay wired the way I am? It'd be a process, but has anything ever been rewired? Some of the old timers know about our old stove that we miss. Harvest Gold, ancient, bought it at a yard sale before the boys were born for $40. Worked flawlessly. She made 10,000 meals on it. Grew up kids. We upgraded the wiring in our house. Plugged in our old stove. She couldn't handle it. Didn't work. We thought we'd killed her. Like half worked. It's like Bob and Carrie said, no worries, friends. We have an old stove. You can upgrade. We tried that. Plugged in one they knew worked. Nothing. Maybe not the stoves. Could be the wiring. Sure enough, the professionals had miswired part of that. Second professional had to come in behind first professional and fix said mistake, to which the stove worked perfectly. Made us want the old girl back. She's gone forever. You know? And sometimes that's true with this. You could go to a counseling and the first one just miswires something. And the second one has to fix what the first one installed. And I will stand with you when you say, this wiring can't be moved. It's in the wall. Can't get to it. Agreed. There is still a difference between living with my condition and living in my condition. Earl doesn't have to get up every Sunday morning. He doesn't have to wait early for Todd or Eve or Lanny or somebody to come get him and bring him here early so that he can set up the video. You know, that's living with the condition. Living in it would be, I'm just going to stay home. And some people probably say, that's fine. You're entitled. For me, I know I'm a sun catcher person. I'm the whole serotonin, vitamin D thing. That's me. I know that. I can go 2 days pretty good here with the gray and the central Ohio. Blah, you know, day 3, I start getting a little, By day 4, she knows I'm cranky. You know, 4 days in a row, and more than once, she said, we're moving to Arizona. We will fix this problem. You know, that's going to rewire you. You know, and I've come to the point late in life where I'm like, I'm a work in process. I have figured out my mood for the anticipation of the day is pretty much synonymous with the barometer arrow on my weather app. If that thing's pointing up, I'm going to be pointing up. If it's trending down, I'm going to be grumpy. Just, if you want to come visit me that day, you've been warned. You know, that's just... It's not changed by what I do. Because I used to spend a lot of days, I'd spend the whole day trying to figure out how to not be grumpy. And I'd work on stuff and I'd talk to her and I'd pray. And by the end of the day, I didn't change anything. I was just mad because I didn't get anything done. Because I was grumpy all day. And I'm now to the point where, well, I'm just going to be grumpy and I'm just going to work anyway. Because tomorrow I'm just going to be better. And I don't have anything to do with anything I did. I'm going to be better tomorrow. And she can play off of that, you know, because if it's gray for 5 days in a row, she can bake me cookies and brownies and say, here, I try to help you. And I'll just be like, what's wrong with you? You know, she's like, I stop. You know? If it's a sunny day, she could say, hey, I just accidentally drove my car through your shop. I'll be like, well, it's sunny. We'll pick up the stuff. You know, it's just, it's connected that way. You know, and I just have to learn that I'm just going to do my work. It'll get better. You know, and when I started with Joey's list, he spent those 5 days with no phone. As far as the rewiring, I think that's the ones I made red. Modern technology has us in a constant state of overstimulation. 3, the less time you spend consuming social media and the news, the less susceptible you are to lies, fear-mongering, deception. 10, peak mental clarity cannot be achieved with constant stimulation from screens. 15, if you want a calmer mind, you need to place yourself in a calmer environment. And 20, detachment provides new perspectives. Time away from my business exposes the problem with my business. Those are the ones that help me be able to work and function and go. And it's late, but we're still not done. We'll just stop. You know, I'm finished for now. Now I'm trying to find common ground. Very tough subject. For some of us, it might be, I need to understand and be a little more empathetic. You know, I need to realize there are different buckets that pour into different people's mental health. It could be you're on the other side and you fully understand everything I've talked about and the needs and the struggles and the challenges. How can I manage it? How can I work through it even while I'm struggling? And I will leave you with the fact that I think these resources that we're sharing can be very helpful assets. That's fine print. You could screenshot that or look at it online. ChristianStandard.com. We have paper copies in the library, a couple. Or you could look it up online. Weedsinmygarden.net. It's all there. They've got all the sermons, all the videos, all the helps. We're going to try to figure out how we can share that more fully. But weedsinmygarden.net. And then the bottom line is, we have a Right Now Media account that's free to you. And we've created a mental health channel. We have Bible studies and men and women and kids and money. Mental health. And it's got our church building on the top. You could find it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 8 in there now. If you say, I don't have the Right Now Media app, when you leave out there by the front door, those little square cards, QR code, invite, text, you know, you can sign up. It's free to you, but you could have access to those and many more tools. I appreciate your listening. We're going to have to keep working on issues like this. Mental health, like every other aspect of our life, has to have its foundation in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are mindful of your presence and your power in all aspects of our lives. You have created us individually. You have outfitted us for community. There are times when we do well. Days when we feel good, and there are seasons of struggle and darkness and despair. And we would pray that each of us would individually be inspired by, drawn to your source, your spirit, your renewal. We would pray that as a family, as a body, we can be able to come alongside one another in our times of strength and weakness, and to be able to help all of us to focus more on you. Thank you for renewing us every day. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.